Frank Muir goes into the world of pets and investigates the humor of the subject with the help of Alfred Marx.
I used to have a fish as a pet. Poor little thing, it was deaf, so I bought it a hearing aid. Do you know what happened when I washed my hamster in detergent?
No.
It died.
Well, I'm not surprised.
I could have told you that detergent wasn't good for hamsters.
No, it wasn't the detergent that killed it, it was the spin dryer.
Oh, there's my dog. Do you know that every day my dog and I go for a tramp in the woods?
Oh, does the dog like that?
Oh, yeah, but the tramp's getting a bit fed up with it. A flea went into a pub and ordered a double scotch, and another, and another, and another. The flea drank more down. At closing time, he hopped unsteadily out into the street, then leapt in the air and fell flat on his face. Oh, damn, he said, someone's moved my dog. There was a bloke who paid £500 for a talking dog and took it home to show off to his friend. Look at this, he said, a dog that talks. Come off it, his friend said. I'll bet you 10-1 it doesn't say a word. He said, 10-1, right, you're on, right? He said, the dog, right, talk. Nothing. He wheedled, threatened, cajoled, nothing. His friend roared with laughter, pocketed his winnings and left. The owner turned on the dog furiously. Why didn't you just say anything, you stupid animals?
Wait, said the dog, not so much of the stupid.
Think of the odds you're going to get next time. Two cats met in the street.
Meow,
said the first cat. Woof, said the second cat. First one tried again.
Meow.
Woof, said the second cat. Cats don't say woof, said the first one. Oh, sorry, said the other one. I'm a stranger around here. An old lady was very proud of a well-behaved parrot and was showing him off to the vicar. And he talks, you know. But none of those rude things that parrots usually say. He's very religious. If you pull his right leg, he recites the Lord's Prayer. And if you pull his left leg, he recites the 23rd Psalm. Well, that's remarkable, said the vicar. Quite remarkable. And what happens if you pull both legs at once? The parrot said, I fall flat on me back, you stupid old twit.
Our British love of pets is a frequent source of wonder to foreigners. Here's J.W. von Achenholz writing in 1785.
In England, animals are treated with almost as much humanity as those of irrational beings.
It's also maintained that the British actually find it easier to communicate with animals than with people. Emily Hahn.
If it were not for his four-footed friends, many an Englishman would burst with suppressed emotion.
Some people are quite frank about this attitude. Here's a letter published by the Daily Express.
I personally own a bull terrier and would say here and now I have far more in common with my dog and any horse than I have with 99 3/4% of the people I meet.
This feeling for animals runs very strong in this country. There's no sure way for a broadcaster to be inundated with irate letters than for him to say anything against pets. There are even occasional complaints that animals aren't catered for by the media. There are programs about pets, they say, but not many for pets. This hasn't always been so. Here's a report from the old News Chronicle.
A special corner by dogs for dogs will be included in Calling All Dogs, which the BBC are putting on next Sunday in honour of Eve of Dog Licence Day. The view at Broadcasting House is that although dogs do not normally display much interest in the loudspeaker, they will if special material is broadcast for them.
No doubt written and compared by Ronnie Barker. I think England is the only country where a programme for pets would even be considered. Sometimes it seems there's a definite confusion of values in British attitudes to animals as against people. You know those appeals on the radio for various sort of charitable funds? Well, some years back, the results of the appeals were published in Radio Times.
East Islington Mothers and Babies Welfare Centre, £49.10. People's Dispensary for Animals of the Poor, £11,812.90.
A further example from the Dorset County Chronicle.
The mayor said he was a great animal lover and he detested people who were cruel to animals. It is bad enough for children, but when it comes to dumb animals, it's terrible.
This kind of attitude towards animals has a long history. William Penn in the 17th century.
Men are generally more careful of the breed of their horses and dogs than of their children.
Well, animals are much easier than children. They're loyal and they're friendly and they don't answer back. It's not surprising that a pet is thought of as man's best friend.
The trouble with dogs is they always know what you're thinking. They've got horrible, clairvoyant minds that can see deep into yours. And they can always tell when you're frightened of them, which is always. Whenever I'm walking along the street and I see a dog, I try to pretend that I'm an extremely courageous person. Try to look completely unconcerned and nonchalant. Sometimes I hum a confident little song, you know, to put them off. I hum like, if you think I'm afraid of you, you better have another thing or two. I'm not afraid, good gracious, no, you're wasting your time round here. Off you go. But the dog can always see through that. And he starts sizing up to me very slowly. So I try walking a bit faster, but without appearing to hurry or looking back. And I can feel the beastly dog creeping up on me, nearer and nearer and nearer. And then as soon as I look back and see where it rushes up to me and starts sniffing around my ankles and for no reason at all, and baring its horrible yellow teeth. The trouble is, you can never hit them or anything. If a dog starts biting you, you can't kick it up the throat like it deserves. People always say, oh dear, poor little dog. He was only trying to be friendly. That's the way he tries to be friendly, sniffing at your ankles and biting you, you cruel, wicked man. So you have to be very gentle with it and say, good dog, come along now. Stop it, there's a nice chap, good dog, there's a nice fellow. Nice fellow, my old boots, they're all... I think it's very dull of everybody to have dogs as pets when there's so many other animals about with nicer natures. There's a friend of mine, George Spengler, he had a bee for a pet. A lovely little creature, the bee. This was a female of the species called Beryl, and he used to take it out for walks in the street. He had a very thin, light lead made out of cotton, tied to her back right leg. And Beryl used to fly ahead of him, about 3 foot in front of him. He used to have his hand out there, you see, held the cotton very delicately, and the bee went on. They made a lovely picture together on twilight evenings. The tragedy was that one evening, he'd just taken his bee out into the garden so she could do her business before retiring. And Beryl was buzzing about on her lead, looking for a likely spot, when suddenly a beastly great bat came up and hit her. Ghastly occurrence. Poor old George was left with a bat on the end of his lead. He couldn't get rid of it. In the end, he had to drive out to Barnstable and abandon it. If you see a bat with a piece of cotton hanging from its mouth, that'll probably be George Spengler's. I must say, I wish I could lay my hands on something to keep the dogs off. Perhaps a giant horned toad might do the trick. I must find something soon.
Peter Cook of E.L. Whisty. Mr. Whisty's rather wary attitude towards dogs was shared by the 18th century poet Gray of Gray's Elegy. When somebody asked Gray whether he kept a dog, he said he refused to consider any pet capable of taking his life. People get very attached to their pets, ferocious though they can be, and they find them a valuable source of company. Here's a report from the Manchester Evening Chronicle.
Asked at Bedlington, Northumberland Juvenile Court today to value his bantam hen stolen by boys, a 60-year-old witness replied, as a bird, I value it at 5 shillings, but as a friend, I value it at 7 and 6.
Ah, you see, an animal can give all elements of friendship, except conversation. And even conversation is sometimes possible.
A Portsmouth man believes he has found the way to talk to hedgehogs, although he does not know the meaning of what he says to them.
That's in the Evening News. Same with people, isn't it? The care of animals requires patience and dedication. Cats, for instance. Cats are independent creatures whose attitude to their owners is always a bit difficult to assess. Montaigne on the subject.
When I play with my cat, who knows but that she regards me more as a plaything than I do her?
Oliver Herford.
Cat. A pygmy lion who loves mice, hates dogs, and patronizes human beings.
But in spite of their patronizing, cats can be very entertaining, particularly when they're young. Henry David Thoreau.
A kitten is so flexible that she's almost double. The hind parts are equivalent to another kitten with which the forepart plays. She does not discover that her tail belongs to her until you tread upon it.
Cats tend to lead their own lives. They get around a good deal. Here's a useful tip from Barry Payne.
Buy visiting cards for the cat. She knows a lot more cats than we know people.
The disadvantages of cats' independence are that they keep on getting lost, and their owners have to advertise in the newspapers in the hope of recovering them.
Missing. Part Persian cat, brown and orange, finder rewarded, dead or alive.
Lost. Ginger cat called Chips, answers to Fish.
Lost. Tabby cat, male, answers to John, reward, one black eye.
If you don't like the idea of your pet wandering all over the place and patronizing you, perhaps you should get a dog instead. Dogs are loyal and friendly creatures, ready to protect their owners to the end.
When I was a little boy, I wanted a dog desperately. And we had no money. I was a tiny kid. And my parents couldn't get me a dog because we just didn't have the money. So they got me, instead of a dog, they told me it was a dog. They got me an ant. I didn't know any better, you know. I thought it was a dog. I was a dumb kid. Called it Spot. I trained it, you know. I'm coming home late one night, and Sheldon Finkelstein tried to bully me. Spot was with me. And I said, kill! And Sheldon stepped on my dog.
A sad tale from Woody Allen. Back to dogs. Dogs are particularly popular as pets because of their proverbial devotion to their masters. It's so flattering. Here's Holbrook Jackson.
Man is a dog's ideal of what God should be.
Aldous Huxley.
To his dog, every man is Napoleon, hence the constant popularity of dogs.
Another advantage of dog owning from Samuel Butler.
The great pleasure of a dog is that you may make a fool of yourself with him, and not only will he not scold you, but he will make a fool of himself too.
Dogs feature quite as much as cats in the small ad columns of newspapers. Here are some examples from Alfred.
Found. White fox terrier dog. Apply with name on collar to 51 Park Road.
And another.
£25 reward to anyone finding red male chow dog or to anyone saying they killed this dog.
And lastly?
A collie dog, 1 year old for sale, will work sheep or cattle, hunt out any distance and stop to whistle.
But even dogs do have some drawbacks, as Bob Newhart found out.
We have two poodles, two little poodles named Willard and Wilbur. They're toy poodles, and they came out of the same litter. There were two of them. And I have nothing against poodles. They're very nice, as a matter of fact, or dogs. I'm not advising you not to get dogs, but don't get two dogs. I'll tell you the problem. The problem is if you go out and then when you come back, you'll find a message for you from one of them, usually on the carpet or something like that. And the problem is with two poodles, you don't know which one did it, you see? It's a case of the phantom strikes again. And you can't punish both of them because the one who went on the paper figures, well, they don't want it there, so... I'll do it on a couch next time. I don't know.
Most owners spend a lot of time grooming their dogs and keeping them clean. Authorities vary as to the wisdom of this. Francis Galton.
Well-washed and well-combed domestic pets grow dull. They miss the stimulus of fleas.
Edward Noyes Westcott.
They say a reasonable amount of fleas is good for a dog. Keeps him brooding over being a dog, maybe.
But fleas or not, dogs have their uses. For instance, they can be specially bred to look after sheep. A report from The Scotsman.
Let there be no misunderstanding. A mating of two champion sheepdogs is more likely to produce a super border collie than the mating of two champion cattle or horses.
True enough. The time for sheepdogs to show their paces is, of course, at the annual trials. Let's have a very old joke.
At the North Devon sheepdog trials, the sheepdog was acquitted.
Let's have some more on the fascinating subject of sheepdog trials.
Well, good morning from the National Sheepdog Class at Tillerton. We've had a fascinating morning here watching these truly intelligent dogs perform complex tasks, guided only by the whistles of their masters. Now, I have with me Mr. Lee. Good morning, Mr. Lee.
Meh! Oh, you mean good morning.
Mr. Lee, I believe you've been a shepherd now for over 40 years.
Oh, no. No, no, no. I've been a shepherd now for over 35 years. 68 years I've been a shepherd now. Man and boy, not in that order, of course. I was a boy first, man later on.
Yes. If you could have your time all over again, would you still be a shepherd?
Oh, no. No, no. I'd like to do something interesting. I'd like to be something interesting, like, like being a shepherd.
A what?
Like being a shepherd.
But you are a shepherd.
So I am. Look at old me.
Well, in your life, you must have trained many sheepdogs.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
How many?
Oh, well over two.
Over two? Well, 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 two. Well, how do you train the dogs?
Well, that's very simple. We use a little kindness and a lot of cruelty.
But you have to be cruel to the dogs.
Oh, yes, very cruel. Very cruel indeed. I'm surprised it's allowed.
Yes.
Really nasty.
Yes.
And shocking.
Yes.
And sadistic we are with them.
And the dogs drive the sheep.
The dogs drive the sheep into the pen. It's known as filling your pen. Ha ha ha! Shepherd joke! Shepherd joke! Shepherd joke!
And how
very funny too!
Yes.
How do they drive the sheep?
You are a nosy old turnip, aren't you?
Well, let me tell you, the old dear. The dogs bark at the sheep, then they crawl up them on their bellies, then they nudge them with their noses, then they bury their fangs in them.
and then the dogs herd the sheep into the pen.
Ah, sometimes the sheep drive them into the pen, and then the dogs just sit there looking embarrassed, and everyone laughs at them, and I laugh at them too. I think it's very funny. My wife, she thinks it's funny.
Does she really?
She's got a great sense of humour.
I'd like to meet her sometime.
Ever since her accident.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Funny woman.
Yes, how many sheep dogs have you?
It's a secret. I'm not telling you. It's the most holy secret that cannot and must not be divulged.
Two.
Oh.
Hey, you have two dogs.
You have two dogs?
Yes.
Where are they now? Oh, well, one of them's over now. Where is he? Oh, over there by that pile of dead sheep. Magnificent brute, treacherous to a fault. Just have this little weakness for mutton.
Oh. Do the dogs kill the sheep?
Only in fun. Still have bitten, burying them in the ground and pulling their heads off. More humane.
Yes, well, perhaps you could get your dogs to give us a demonstration.
Oh, you don't need the dogs for that. You just bury the sheep in the
pen. No, could you get the dogs to drive the sheep into the pen?
Well, I've only got old Butcher here at the moment. I don't know where Crippin's gone to. He must be off after the judges. He senses they're his natural enemies.
Well, could you just put Butcher through his paces then?
All right, well, I'll get him to drive that sheep into that pen over there.
Right. Surely, Mr. Lee shouldn't be. Mr. Lee, what is he doing? Mr. Lee, surely shouldn't be eating that sheep.
You took him, mate.
Oh, goodness me, how awful. Oh, this is embarrassing.
Look at that, you thieving cur. I'll tear you apart with me bare hands. Ah, look at that. Swear he understands every word I say.
Tim Book Taylor and Graham Chapman. Dogs are sometimes claimed to have almost supernatural powers in the judgment of character. For instance, they can be relied upon to pick the goodies from the baddies. Josh Billings.
Money will buy a pretty good dog, but it won't buy the wag of his tail.
True, very true. Or from a letter to the Star.
A dog usually possesses those fine qualities in which human beings are sometimes deficient. If your dog was suddenly to know you as you are, not as he thinks you are, could you look him in the face?
And the Sporting Weekly.
Now, the outstanding characteristic of a dog is its honesty. In love or hate, joy or sorrow, a dog is sincere. It will not bite your hand or wag its tail unless it likes you.
The thought was a great comfort to any man faced for the first time with a friend's dog.
Oh, geez, this is a real nice place you got out here, Harry. Gee, I love this. Love this chair. Modern, isn't it? Yeah. It seems kind of lonely out here, you know. There aren't too many houses around. I imagine it gets kind of lonely at night, doesn't it? Oh, you have a dog, do you? Oh, sure, I'd love to see him. Where is he? In the backyard? Sure, let him in. Oh. Hi there, fella. Hi. Hi, boy. Boy, he's a lot heavier than he looks, isn't he, Harry? Well, he can keep you pinned to the chair like that with just his two front paws. You just beat him, did you, Harry? Yeah. What'd you get, Mary? liver. Yeah. I thought that's what it was, Harry. He starts to bother me just cuffing behind the ear. I sure will, Harry. What kind of dog is he, Harry? Doberman, is that right? They make great watchdogs, don't they? You nearly tore the burglar to pieces before you could get him off. Hi there, fella. Hi, boy. Boy, you're a pretty dog. What I like a what, Harry? A drink. Yeah, a drink would be fine, Harry. Scotch and water. You aren't going to have to leave the room, are you, Harry? Harry! Harry! Hi there, fella. I don't suppose you want to get down, boy, do you? Just stay like this. You want to play a little game, boy? Want to chase the fountain pen, boy? Chase the fountain pen, boy. There you go, boy. Boy, you're fast, little boy. Want to give me back the fountain pen, boy? Don't want to give me back the pen, huh, boy? Shoot up good. That's the way, boy. Swallow it, boy. Maybe it'll stick in your... Hi, Harry. Yeah, we're getting along just fine. No, it doesn't bother me at all. Oh, well, you want to tell him to get down. Hi there, fella. Hi, boy. Oh, yeah, it sure looks harmless just laying there on the floor, doesn't it? Yeah, he chewed my fountain pen, Harry. Kind of looks like a chowder with that blue tongue, doesn't he? Oh, my drink, yeah. What'd I do, Harry? Any sudden movements, is that right? He's praying that way, was he? Where'd you get him from, Harry? The Army. Who's Army, Harry? Why'd they let him go, Harry? Don't tell me what he did to the general, Harry, would you? It was the general's fault, though. He acted afraid of the dog, did he? And then they can sense that, is that right? Just appear at ease, huh? That'll make him relax. That sure makes a lot of sense, Eric. Or you just cross your legs or say, a little too sudden with that, Harry.
Bob Newhart again. And that's almost it. Let's close with a poem by Hilaire Belloc on a rather unusual pet.
A python I should not advise. It needs a doctor for its eyes and has the measles yearly. However, if you feel inclined to get one to improve your mind and not from fashion merely, allow no music near its cage, and when it flies into a rage, chastise it most severely. I had an aunt in Yucatan who bought a python from a man and kept it for a pet. She died because she never knew these simple little rules and few. The snake is living yet. Yes.
And next week, Alfred and I will be going into the subject of holidays. Until then, goodbye.
Down, boy. Close, what are you doing? Come close. Come close. Come down.
Frank Muir Goes Into the World of Pets was produced by Simon Brett and Bob Oliver Rogers.